You can be turning in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. The Lord has been so gracious to give this preacher 60 years in the pulpit. 60 years. I have never seen a time when we need to emphasize the importance of the Word of God as we do in the day and the hour in which we live. Churches are falling on bad soil right and left because many of them are forsaking the teaching of God's blessed Word. A leading television personality said this week that he was a believer. However, he did not believe there was any such thing as Adam and Eve, that they did not actually exist. They were allegorical. He said there was no universal flood, no earthly flood in Noah's day. That was allegorical. He said that Jonah was not swallowed by a huge fish, by a whale. That was allegorical. He said, but I want you to know I'm a believer. I said, Buster, that's allegorical. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot be a believer and not believe the Word of God. Cannot. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. And if what I believe and if what my opinions are differ from this book, it does not mean that the book is wrong and I'm right. It means I'm wrong and the book is right. And we must learn in these days in which we live to alter our course of thinking we're so important that we can improve on what the Bible says. Now, folks, that's not the message. That's the preamble. But we need to emphasize that, and we try to emphasize it every Sunday. Because invariably somebody will say, well, you know, I thought we was going to talk about something else. We don't talk about anything else. We talk about the Bible. We preach the Bible. We teach the Bible. That's why when I get up to preach and have for the last 60 years, open my message by saying, would you turn in your Bible today to Luke chapter number 24? And this passage definitely deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke 24, notice beginning with verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that when they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, if he wants to withhold his presence, he can do that because he's Almighty God. If he wants to withhold his identity, he can do that because he's Almighty God. Here, he decides to withhold his identity. These two men had seen him, had sat under his ministry, and yet when he showed up, they did not recognize him. They looked on him as a visitor. It says that when Christ drew near and went with them, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Notice that's past tense. We don't trust any longer. At that time, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, when you begin to doubt what the prophets have spoken, you're advertising you're a fool. Do you understand that? Christ said that. Because you didn't believe what the Bible says, what the Scripture said, if you don't believe what the prophets say, you're a fool. Now, I didn't manufacture that. I'm just reading it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all of them, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to speak on the other side of the resurrection. That's the subject. And that's the title. The other side of the resurrection. A tremendous miracle had occurred earlier in this chapter. Jesus Christ had died a terrible death by crucifixion on a Roman cross. His body was taken down and prepared for burial. He was placed in a sepulchre. 3 days later, some of the women came to visit his tomb, which was customary as it is today. But to their surprise, the stone had been rolled away, and the body of Jesus was absent. Two angels appeared and explained what had happened. And you read that in the opening chapter of Luke 24, verses 4, 5, and 6. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, that is, the women who came to see the Lord, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here. That much they knew. He is risen. That much they had to swallow. They had to absorb. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. The resurrection of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, I believe, is the greatest miracle ever to occur. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are some infallible points that we must refresh our minds on. Number one, Jesus actually died on the cross. He did not go to sleep on the cross. He did not become comatose on the cross. He did not just pass out on the cross. He died on the cross. He literally died on the cross. Pilate sealed his tomb with the seal of his ring and a heavy stone. His tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers to keep the body from being stolen. And the lifeless body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lay in that tomb for 3 full days and nights. Our Lord then arose bodily from the grave on the first day of the week. And he did it by his own power. Those are the facts. Those are literal statements about what happened to Christ. Now, if you do not believe that, then you are not a believer. There's no way you can disbelieve that and still wind up saying, I'm a real believer in the Lord. So, we come to what Christ said himself. Before he died on the cross, he made 2 statements. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have power to raise it again. He also said, destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. And if you read that in its context, he was referring to his body. So we must not place a question mark on the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are 2 sides to the resurrection. There is the before side, and then there is the after side. There is the side before he arose, and then there is the side after he arose. There is the Calvary side, and then there is the resurrection side. There is the death side, and then there is the life side. There is one side, and then there is the other side. I believe this is clearly exemplified in the text I've read from Luke chapter number 24. Notice these 2 disciples left Jerusalem. And they left it, obviously, on the very day that Christ had risen from the dead. And they didn't know about it. Notice it says in verse 13, behold, 2 of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem. And get the preposition, not toward Jerusalem, from Jerusalem. You can always tell when a believer is getting spiritually cold and indifferent by the direction he walks in relation to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where our Lord taught. Jerusalem is where our Savior died. Jerusalem is where our Savior is resurrected from the dead, and they turn their backs on Jerusalem to go to Emmaus, which wasn't far off, but they were walking away from Jerusalem. I tell you, we need to get back to Jerusalem today. We need to get back to the fresh facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we don't do that by going the opposite direction. They were doing just that. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. They had seen a lot take place. It came to pass when they reasoned or communed together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad. He called attention to their sad countenance. They were not smiling. They were not joking. They were not talking what a wonderful weekend trip they had in Jerusalem. They were very, very sad and discontented. And Christ said, why are you so sad? Why do you have a frown on your face? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? You must not know what's been taking place in the big city. Have you not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And notice Christ raises a very important question, two words long. What things? Now, he wasn't doing that for his information. He knew exactly what had happened in Jerusalem because it evolved around him. He's the one that had died on the cross, but he wanted to know what they thought happened in Jerusalem. And what you read in verses 19 through 24 is a view of the resurrection from a defeated believer. It's a view of the resurrection from a defeated believer. So he said, tell me about it. What things did happen in Jerusalem? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. In our church, we try to emphasize the importance. Don't get too familiar with Jesus. Quote, unquote. He's not Jesus. You know, there are a lot of guys down in Mexico, their name's Jesus. Just because a man's name is Jesus doesn't mean anything. Every time Paul spoke about, quote, unquote, Jesus, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you find that you're getting on familiar territory with him, and he's just a running buddy, guy lives down the road, and you've known him for quite a number of years, your heart may be getting cold and indifferent. They said concerning this Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. He was a prophet. But dear friends, he was more than a prophet. He said to his disciples, I and my Father are one. He was God robed in flesh. But they're trying to humanize him and bring him down. He's Jesus. He came from Nazareth. He was a good prophet, and he did a lot of good. Let me tell you something. If he did not rise from the dead, he is a liar. Are you listening? Because he said, I've got the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it again. If he did not bodily arise from the dead, he's the greatest imposter this world has ever known. If he did not rise from the dead, it would be a fallacy to look to him and say, oh, he did a lot of wonderful things. He was a good prophet. He wasn't worth a dime if he didn't do what he said he was going to do. Now, you're getting awfully quiet. Now, we're getting into your room there. And we're going to get a little closer before the message is over with. We've got to come to grips, my dear friends. He's either God or he's a fake. Jesus Christ came forth from the dead. He gave them the opportunity. What things? You tell me what you think happened in Jerusalem. Verse 21, we trusted. We're getting a little iffy now. We're not quite sure whether we should have trusted him that much. We kind of thought at the beginning, this just could be the Messiah. We did trust that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's a third day since these things were done. Nothing happened, so we left town and we're going back home to Emmaus. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. In other words, at this point, as far as they were concerned, he's absent. We don't know where he is. They may have taken his body. We're not sure of his whereabouts. But that's the best they could say about, quote, Jesus of Nazareth. He's not where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be in a grave and in a tomb, and he's not there. He's absent. No wonder the Lord calls them fools in verse 25. O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Have you ever wondered why we're so slow of heart sometimes in believing the Bible? It is because we've given too much attention to somebody else who differed with the Bible, and we felt like they had enough sense to know that they knew more than we could possibly know, and we started believing what they had to say. You see, some folks depend on Dr. Smell Fungus a whole lot more than they depend on the Word of God. They got a hold of a book. Oh, you just don't know. I've got me a book here. I'm reading my book now. And my book says it's all a bunch of malarkey. Who wrote your book? I need not tell you I'm thoroughly upset with Mr. Bill O'Reilly. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He claims to be a Catholic. He is a sorry Catholic who does not believe in the literal historicity of Adam and Eve and the flood and Jonah being swallowed by a fish and all of these things. And so he writes a book, The Killing of Lincoln. Who was Lincoln? He was a martyr. And it was the bestseller, so it's time to write another one. And he wrote a book entitled The Killing of Kennedy. Who was Kennedy? He was a martyr. Now his next bestseller to be is Killing Jesus. First of all, he ought to be ashamed of a title like that. If you're going to talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you call him the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put him in the category of Martin Luther King. Don't put him in the category of Joseph Smith. Don't put him in the category of Abraham Lincoln. He was not a martyr. So I get a little upset when I watch Mr. O'Reilly. And God knows you need to get a little upset when you watch him. Now, it's going to be all right. We're not through yet, but it's going to be all right. So these disciples, what was their problem? They were living on the wrong side of the resurrection. The wrong side of the resurrection. So Christ is going to put them on the right side of the resurrection. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would go on further. They constrained him. They said, abide with us. It's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. No one could take bread like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. And when that happened, their eyes were opened. Dear one, aren't you thankful that the Lord opened your eyes to see truth? That if he doesn't open your eyes to see truth, you will live in darkness forever and forever. And when they saw that, they said, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way And while he opened to us the scriptures, and notice what happened when they started living on the right side of the resurrection, verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Well, they just left Jerusalem to go back home, and now they're turning right around and going back to Jerusalem. Their hearts had been warmed by the resurrection of Christ, and now they knew that he had risen from the dead. What a difference it makes. Christ explained the scripture to them and they believed it. Now the side before the resurrection. Many times if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves living there. Living on the side before the resurrection. It's a place of skepticism. It's a place of unhappiness. It's a place of fear and doubt and guilt and death. It's always a place of hopelessness. People who do not believe in the resurrection are hopelessly lost. John the Baptist was filled with doubt on the wrong side of the resurrection. Though it had not occurred, he still was living before the resurrection had happened. Do you remember what he said in Luke chapter 7, verses 19 through 20? Now this is John the Baptist. He wasn't just a mediocre individual. Christ said concerning this man, of those born of a woman, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist say? John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? He had an honest doubt. You know, this fellow just may not be the Messiah. It may be somebody else, so I'm going to take the problem to him directly, and he can give me an answer. And when the men were come unto Christ, they said, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? Simon Peter was living on the wrong side of the resurrection. In Matthew 26, 73 through 74, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. He was living on the wrong side of resurrection truth. He claimed not to even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas was filled with disbelief. Why? He was still living on the wrong side of the resurrection. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. One of the disciples of the Lord, living on the wrong side of the resurrection. And even the disciples themselves were filled with disarray. Look at verse number 36 of our text. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Here our Lord presents himself to the disciples. Notice they were terrified. They were affrighted. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you so troubled? You know what the answer to that is? Living on the wrong side of the resurrection. They had no confidence, no assurance that Christ had risen from the dead. The Lord said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And notice, while they yet believed not, they were looking at truth right in front of them. And still it was difficult for them to believe. He gave them something to eat. And as a result of that, things changed. But the point being is they were living on the wrong side of the resurrection. Now let's very quickly point out the right side of the resurrection. the afterside of the resurrection. This same Simon Peter, who three times said, I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. The same Peter who said he did not know Christ before the resurrection got up and preached a mighty Pentecostal sermon on the person and work of Jesus Christ, and over 3,000 people came to know the Lord and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. What made the difference? The afterside of the resurrection. The afterside of the resurrection. What about Thomas, who said, unless I could take my finger and put it in the hole in his hand and take my hand and thrust it into the hole of his side, I'm not going to believe. This same Thomas looked at Christ and Christ said, here I am. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He changed his tune because he switched the side he was living on from the before side to the after side. He believed that Christ had risen from the dead. And even these disciples, which we just read about, who were having trouble believing that this was really Christ, they thought it was a spirit. Notice in verses 51 through 53, it came to pass as he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem. Got to get back to Jerusalem. Got to get back to Jerusalem. And says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Because they got on the right side of the resurrection. I would ask a question this morning to my own heart. I would ask it to your heart as well. Which side of the resurrection are you living on? Which side of the resurrection are you living on? There are many who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're living on the wrong side. There are many who do not care one way or the other. You're living on the wrong side. There are many who don't think it's important as long as a man is just sincere and religious. You're living on the wrong side. There are some who've crossed over to the other side of the resurrection. They've come to believe not only that Jesus died for sinners, but that he bodily arose from the grave. And they've exercised faith in this resurrected Christ, and they have salvation. And they have joy. Why? Because they've experienced the forgiveness of sins. You don't find that before resurrection. You find that after resurrection. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:16-17, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe that. You must have faith in that. One fellow said that he was going down the wrong road because he was born on the wrong side of the tracks. And one day his mama heard him say that and she pulled him over. She said, son, if you think he's born on the wrong side of the tracks, why don't you cross over to the other side? And he did. And it made a tremendous amount of difference in his life when he crossed over to the right side. I believe the scripture teaches all of us were born on the wrong side of the tracks. All of us have known despair and disbelief and defeat and depression and doubt and some even death. But one day, by the grace of God, we crossed over to the other side of the resurrection. And what a glorious change it's been in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for you to cross over to the other side if you have not done that. I ask you, would you trust in this resurrected Christ today for salvation? The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. And that also is the same thing that God's people have been saying for 2,000 years. He's not here. He's risen. I thank the Lord today for an empty tomb. And I also thank the Lord today that our Savior is seated at the Father's right hand. And He's going to stay there until it's time for Him to come the second time. And when He comes the second time, He's going to come back to this earth and show Himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's already King, but this world has not been convinced of that. When He comes the second time, the world will know He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If He be not risen from the dead, we're of all men most miserable. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have every reason to rejoice in the Lord and be glad on this Easter day that Christ is alive, not dead, but He has risen from the dead. Let's stand, please, for prayer.